The Gospel for Ascension Sunday comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, the end of the Gospel, verses 44 through 53. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. Praise to you, Lord Christ, for your word. Staying is a trick we often teach to dogs. When his master points at him and firmly says, "Stay," Fido needs to learn not to jump on your house guest or go snarf up a tasty crumb that fell under the table or chase off after the squirrel that just ran down a tree. For his own good and the good of others, Fido must learn staying power. Staying was a difficult lesson for Jesus' disciples. Their failure at it was embarrassingly revealed as Jesus drew near the cross. Peter, James, and John could not stay awake in the Garden of Gethsemane. And after the Last Supper, when Jesus predicted they would all desert him and run away, Peter vehemently denied that he would do that. But when the time came, he did. Mark 15:50 simply says, "All of them deserted him and fled." Yet our Lord Jesus is the Lord of second chances, often many more. We read from the Gospel of John a few weeks ago how Jesus forgave Peter his desertion and brought him back into relationship with him. And now, for the Sunday on which we remember Jesus ascending into heaven, we hear Jesus offer them all another chance to obey that command to stay, to remain where he wanted them to be for as long as needed. In verse 49, he said, "So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." In Acts 1, we read verse 4, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. Perhaps you realize there's a small gospel harmony problem in that command to stay. In Matthew and Mark, the disciples were told to meet the risen Jesus in Galilee, far north of Jerusalem. And that reconciling conversation with Peter in John 21 was part of how they met the risen Jesus along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. So why do the other three Gospels talk about going to Galilee when in Luke they're supposed to stay in Jerusalem? Luke makes that disparity feel even greater by the way he tells the story. Chapter 24 goes from one episode to the next with just the little word, two letters in Greek, "then," to move on to the next scene. It leaves us with the feeling it all happened on the same day, including the ascension on Easter. Yet Luke could not have meant that narrative with Jesus rising and meeting the disciples and telling them many things about the scriptures, then telling them to stay, then being carried up to heaven, all happening one thing right after the other, to mean everything occurred in 24 hours or even just a few days. Luke wrote Acts 2 that Marlon read. He told us himself what we heard there, that Jesus' time on earth after the resurrection was 40 days. That's why Ascension Day, which was this past Thursday actually, is 40 days after Easter. So it's likely there are a number of days, maybe even a few weeks, between verses 43 and 44 in this last chapter of Luke. That larger span of time makes it possible for a pretty simple explanation of why Matthew, Mark, and John talk about the disciples going to meet Jesus in Galilee, while Luke has Jesus telling them to stay in Jerusalem. That command to stay put, came only after Luke has, they had gone as commanded by the angels to Galilee, and then come back now to the vicinity of Jerusalem. And so that's when, after that trip to Galilee, that Jesus told them to stay and wait there in Jerusalem, and then ascended to heaven. That last event, then, in Jesus' time on earth, resulted in what I always think is sort of a somewhat strange Christian celebration of the Ascension. I mean, the Christians have celebrated it forever, but Jesus is gone, hooray, is pretty awkward, much less something to get excited about. A new Facebook meme for this year puts it as the Feast of the Ascension, celebrating the day that Jesus began working from home. We like to talk about the presence of Jesus with us. So why do we have this day to remember his absence? I thought about that question. Why was Jesus flying off to heaven a good thing? And realized that his direction for the disciples to stay points toward an answer. The reason Jesus gave for the disciples to stay and wait is also the reason for his departure. Jesus said it in John 16:7, "It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus went away so that his disciples could stay and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we'll celebrate that glorious event next Sunday on Pentecost. Jesus needed to go and they needed to stay in order for Pentecost to happen, in order for the Holy Spirit to show up and make them ready then to go all over the world. The Ascension then, especially this year, makes me think about the stayings and goings in my own life and yours. Here I am getting ready to go away from serving as your pastor in another month after 29 years. Yet just saying that, I realize I've stayed a long time. And that staying has been a good thing. It was time enough for the Holy Spirit to show up among us in many wonderful and good ways, both for me and for you. Next week, as part of our Pentecost celebration, you'll all share in the rite of confirmation for two young people who grew up in our church. And I'm glad I could stay long enough to have them in a confirmation class and hear each Sunday for the past few months a little of what's happening in their lives. Now, I won't be here when those two start thinking about things like college or getting married or a career, but staying here long enough has blessed me with the privilege of seeing other older students do all those things, like Allison there, as she said. She was in the confirmation class and then followed the leading of the Holy Spirit to Haiti. That was worth staying for. I probably first learned the power of listening to Jesus tell me to stay in my first church. I was only 3 or 4 years into an 8-year-long service there, and it got hard. There were many wonderful and gracious members of that congregation, but there were also, I'll just say, a few recalcitrant but vocal folks who seemed to feel that nothing should change in their nearly 100-year-old church. I began to wonder if I should even be a pastor, much less stay there. Back then, I had an almost freshly printed PhD in hand, and I loved to teach. So I quietly freshened up an academic vita and sent it off to 3 or 4 different colleges and seminaries with open positions. The answers I got were all polite notifications that they were considering other people with more teaching experience. When I read those letters, I heard another voice, the voice of Jesus and His Spirit, telling me to stay where I was, to stay in ministry, to wait for His power, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, to arrive. So I did. I stayed another few years and saw many good things happen there. I got to celebrate that church's 100th anniversary with them, and the fact that they had stayed to serve that community for a century. Now they're going on 130 years, and a young man, one of my confirmation students there, because I stayed that long, recently became their pastor. That was worth staying for, to be able to see that, worth remaining in pastoral ministry now that Evan is my colleague. Now, even though I'm going soon from this church, I'd like to urge on you today the power of staying. Several of you have lived in this community as long or longer than I have. You probably realize that's a rarity in today's world. It may, in fact, be a privilege that some younger people will not have as often as some of us older folks have. The need to move for employment and economic reasons keeps growing. Yet, if you have stayed a while somewhere, in a job or a type of work, in a marriage like Marlon and Kathleen, then you've also seen some of that power which arrives from the Lord when you stay. It may not be the rushing wind or bright flames of Pentecost, but it's the gracious gift of the Father, the gentle filling and sustaining of the Holy Spirit. One reason to stay in place, particularly as a Christian among Christians, is that what Luke says in just a few words here takes time, a lot of time. In verse 44, Jesus told them, "Everything about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And verse 45 goes on then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Well, that opening of minds to the Scriptures didn't happen in a moment or a day or two. As we read about the early church in Acts and look at the first centuries of the church in history, it's clear that a more complete understanding of what God taught them about Jesus took decades, even centuries, to unfold. Our confirmation students just had a lesson in how it took 300 years for the Council of Nicaea to happen and for Christians to really fully get a grasp on the fact that Jesus is both God and human. Followers of Jesus had to stay with Him and think about that for a long time. Stay with the truths that they had received and process them in order to receive the Spirit's guidance to express that truth in a clear way. That need to have our minds open to the Scriptures is a reason for you and I to stay with our faith and be staying with a community of people where God's Word is opened and studied and discussed regularly so that the Holy Spirit can arrive and open our eyes, as we sang, to show us what God is saying to us for our present time. Yes. Yeah, I know. In the very near future, I'm going rather than staying. So where do I get off preaching this today? Part of my answer to that for myself, as much as for anyone else, is that the staying Jesus asked of His disciples was not meant to be forever. They were told to stay in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power from on high, until that glorious baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon them. Once that happened, many of them went out in all directions, guided and and led by the Holy Spirit, sharing the gospel of Jesus with the world. Now, my going after staying here at Valley Covenant for many years is not really like that apostolic mission to the world, but I can say that I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, it's time to go, giving me permission to lay down this ministry and find whatever he has in store for Beth and me next. Which brings me to another answer for why I'm talking about staying even as I prepare to leave. I'm stepping away from being your pastor, but Beth and I are not immediately leaving Eugene. We've thought about a move, maybe to the coast, but that seems less likely in our current economic situation. I mean, the general economic situation. So we are following advice given by our friend, your friend, Mike Fargo. He said, don't make any really big plans or decisions for your future in the next year. We're simply going to stay here in Eugene and wait for God to show us what he has in store. We're going, but in another way, we're staying, waiting again for the Spirit to arrive and guide us. I probably have no right, but I would ask that same willingness to stay from each of you. Just this past week, we completed the last membership class that I'll lead here. And I don't know when I started the practice, but for years, maybe some of you remember, near the end of every class, with tongue somewhat in cheek, I've offered what you might call a disclaimer about joining Valley Covenant Church. What I've said is, sooner or later, I or someone else in this congregation will disappoint you. We are Christians saved by grace, but we are still sinful human beings. Maybe you remember me saying something like that. And you might wonder why I'd say something like that to a new person excited enough about our church to explore being a member. The reason is what I go on to ask of these people. When that disappointment happens, I say, please don't just pack up and quietly leave. Stay. Talk with us. Talk with the pastor or church council member. Wait. See if the Holy Spirit might guide us together through this. Help make it right, or at least better. So again, I'm asking for staying power. For the power which comes when you and I are willing to remain in place and wait on the Lord and His Spirit. Now, please don't think that I would suggest that my retirement is anything like or comparable to Jesus' great ascension to glory on high. I'm just fumbling around here with what that event might teach us about staying and going, both for myself and for you. Thus, I'd like to reiterate that membership disclaimer for all of you. At least some of you may be disappointed that I'm retiring, and I am so sorry about that. But please let me gently ask you to stay. It will be especially important now. And I have complete confidence that our Lord is there, watching over you on high, just as he did that little band of disciples who stood looking up at the soles of his feet disappearing into the clouds. They too wondered, what happens now? But they stayed, as Jesus asked, and he sent them his Holy Spirit, just as he will continue to pour out his Spirit here on you. And it wasn't all gloom and moping around after Jesus was gone, and I trust that it's not going to be that, you know, when just a pastor's gone. The last couple of verses of our text, 52 and 53, give us a picture of people who aren't just sitting quietly in a dark room waiting for something to happen. Luke tells us, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. That's no disheartened, hopeless little community which lost its leader. These are hopeful, joyful people who knew that the Lord in whom they believe had promised wonderful blessings to come. And that's true for you all too. When I came here in 1993, I heard stories about what happened in the interim period before me, the period between pastors, like you're about to begin. Valley Covenant was then, I think at the beginning of that interim period, about the size it is now. But in the interim, without a full-time pastor, it grew. The people of that congregation themselves offered a membership class and welcomed several new members who joined the church during that time. They continued with a worship team that met each week with interim preachers and prepared joyful, wonderful music each Sunday. And they recorded a videotape that we still have a copy of that celebrated the blessings of living in Eugene and in being part of this church. During that time, most of them stayed and worshiped and waited for the Holy Spirit to come and show them a new pastor. And this church flourished during that interim. That's exactly what I prayerfully trust will happen here again. I invite you then to stay as Jesus directs you and discover the power of staying, whether it's in this church, in your neighborhood, in your family. Staying and waiting on God is often how we find God coming to us in His time. It doesn't mean you won't go sometimes. As I said, the disciples didn't stay put for that long. By all means, if the Spirit says go to you, go. But please try also to stay when that's what He asks. Jesus' first followers learned to stay when their master said stay. May you and I learn that lesson as well. Amen.